Let us pray. Lord, indeed, we thank you that we walk by faith and not by sight, thanking you for your Holy Spirit. Hide us behind the cross as we continue on our Lenten journey. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage for this morning from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 35. It is a continuation of chapter 8. Listen to these words shared by Jesus through Mark. And then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servants of all." Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whosoever received one of these little children in my name, receive me. And whosoever receives me, receives not me, but him who sent me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My sermon topic for this morning is in a form of a question. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Who is the greatest? Amen. The debate continues. It started long before the Bible was even shaped and formed by King James. It was a debate concerning who is the greatest, the greatness. Perhaps many of you are very familiar with history and know around 350 B.C., a man came along with the name Alexander the Great. Then after Alexander the Great, around 560 B.C., another man by the name of Cyrus the Great. And then not to be outdone, it was a pope who came along, and instead of calling himself Pope Gregory, they referred to him as Gregory the Great. Well, the fast forward is done even in athletics. Many of you hockey fans know that one who was considered the greatest hockey player ever was known as the Great One, Wayne Gretzky. Then came along a young man who pronounced to the whole world, "I'm the greatest," the late Muhammad Ali. There's always a sense of greatness that goes about. In fact, there are some people who continue to debate even today. Perhaps you've heard about the court case with a man who had enough. He was an atheist, didn't believe in God, and he was frustrated. So he hired an attorney. He decided to go to court because he was tired of Christians celebrating Christmas and then celebrating in the springtime Easter. He said Christians have used the Bible out of context and to their own advantage to have these holidays, and they need to stop. So he and his lawyer had gone to court. They made their argument before the judge. They shared that Christians come along and they quote from Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse, when it comes to Christmas time. And they say, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Then during the springtime, they cite a passage out of the Bible, Matthew, the 28th chapter and the 6th verse. Christians love to say that an angel went to the tomb of Jesus. An angel said to the disciples and the women who were looking for Jesus, "He is not here. He has risen, just like he said." We shouldn't celebrate Christmas. We shouldn't celebrate Easter. Atheists don't have a holiday. And at that moment, the judge hit the gavel. He said, "Case dismissed." That lawyer and that atheist, they were furious. They said, "Honor, how can you dismiss that case?" He said, "Well, atheists have a holiday as well. You read the Bible and you read Psalms 14 in the first verse, it says a fool says that in his heart there is no God. April Fool's Day is his holiday. You got it. But the debate continues. Debate continues, and at the last two services, we had a person here from South Carolina. We had a person who had on the whole shirt as it relates to the University of Florida. For the final four, two teams are already in, and later on the day, two teams have the opportunity to make it into the road to the final four. So you can hear the debate just like the debate on the road as it relates to the disciples. Well, folks from South Carolina and folks from Georgia, from Florida who are celebrating the University of Florida are going to be playing each other. And then not to be outdone, Kentucky and North Carolina will have their say as well. Having debates are not unusual. Perhaps you don't have any at home or at work. But even as it relates to the church, if you look at your sermon notes, the first question is this question. Who is the greatest in Palm Coast United Methodist Church? Who is the greatest? Well, Jesus would tell us the greatest is the ones who are willing to serve. The ones who are willing to be last instead of being first. The one who is willing to give and give. And give. You look at this passage of scripture that is shared, and Mark is right on point. He shares as it relates to Capernaum, the location, the site in northern Galilee, the hometown of Jesus. Jesus is very familiar there. He's sharing with his disciples. They're walking along the road and they're having a debate. Now notice that Jesus did not wait to embarrass the disciples publicly, but he waited to have them in the house, in the confinement, if you will. Jesus knew the conversation. It was very familiar with him, and he knew exactly what they were debating. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? That's a great conversation. And if you'll allow me, just drift your mind back to the disciples. Think about how they were arguing among themselves who is the greatest. There are numerous debates that are shared throughout the Bible. You just finished hearing the choir sing a great song, Walk With Me, or Walk By Faith. It is a song that indicates that we as Christians should walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Don't you remember some of the Bible characters that they lift up just a few moments before us? It was Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had to deal with a man called Moses, and there was a debate. For Moses went to Pharaoh, the king of that day, and said, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh asked, who sent you? Moses come up with some name, I am that I am sent me. There was a debate. And they continued to have that debate, and ultimately Pharaoh gave in. Don't you remember the great debate as it relates to David? David dealing as a shepherd boy, going to see how his brothers were faring and realizing that they were intimidated by a giant named Goliath. And David didn't wait long. He stepped up to the plate. He challenged this giant. This giant looked at him and referred to him as a what? Dog. That's right in scripture. Just look at Samuel. Thought David was just a little dog. And David says, I come in the name of the Lord. We know who won that debate. That little shepherd boy with just one stone killed the great giant that day. But you also heard the choir as they share as it relates to Esther. And Esther was in the king's palace. Esther wanted to remain silent, but because she had a debate with her relative named Mordecai, it was Mordecai who reminded Esther that she couldn't stay quiet and remain silent, and because she was protected in the king's palace. But she needed to approach the king, for perhaps God has placed you there for such a time as this. Esther approaches the king, and God's will has its way. Or perhaps you remember Hannah, how Hannah was in the Bible and Hannah comes along and Hannah has this baby. And yet this other woman said that that was her the baby. And this other woman said, well, you ought to split the baby in half. Hannah wouldn't have that, said, well, just give it to her. She wanted her baby to live. And ultimately, what did Solomon do? He gave the baby to his mother. Well, look at Jesus. He's with the disciples. They're now in the confinement of a home. And Jesus asked the boys, what were you debating along the road? And the whole room, verse 34, they remained what? Silent. Because they were debating among themselves who was the greatest. Can't you hear the debate? The disciples were not walking by faith at that time. They were wrestling and debating among themselves. Now, Jesus, mind you, put it in context. This is the third time that he shares with the disciples that he's heading to the cross to give up his life, to die for the sins of the whole world, and to be buried and to rise again. And they missed it. Why? Because they were more concerned about who is the greatest. Oh, you can hear the debate. You can imagine it was Peter. Peter would easily say, I'm the greatest among the disciples. I'm the one who said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In fact, I am the spokesman of the group. Now, mind you, he was a self-appointed spokesman. But then his brother would come along, and his brother's name is Andrew, and his brother would have to remind him that, Peter, you didn't know anything about Jesus. I'm the one who introduced you to Jesus. Well, not to be outdone, there were two other sets of brothers as well. It was James and John. They were called the Sons of Thunder. They were even part of Jesus' inner circle. And you know what they did one day? Behind the disciples' backs, they approached Jesus and said, Lord, will you get into your kingdom? Grant that one of us will sit on your right and the other on your left. And Jesus reminded them and told them, that is not mine to give, but whom it has been prepared. To sit on my right, to sit on my left belongs to the Father. Can you drink from this cup in which I drink from? And indeed you will. He was talking about the cup of suffering. But then, not to be outdone, not about Peter or Andrew or James and John, another disciple would come along, and a disciple could easily give the debate, hey, I guarantee you that I'm the greatest. In fact, folks won't even assemble themselves around people that they're concerned might steal their money. I have to be the greatest. My name is Judas. And I was the money keeper. I kept the purse. I was the treasurer of the group. Jesus gave me his ATM card, his cash to watch. You get it. Judas would assume that he was the greatest. And the debate continues on and on. And so Jesus asked the disciples, what are you debating about? What were you debating about? For he knew they were debating about whom was the greatest among the 12. Notice it's not the folks on the outside of the room that he was dealing with. It was those on the inside. He deals with the 12 disciples personally because they were missing the essence of his message and why he came. He came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus Christ was reminding them as they were debating among themselves, if you want to be important, if you want to be great, that's wonderful. But he who wants to be the greatest of all must be the servants of all. You must be willing to be last that others might be first. Now, B.W. Johnson, if you want to write it down, let me help you fill in the sermon notes on the second bullet point. B.W. Johnson comes along and he shares this quote with us, and let me read it. The two conditions of true greatness are what? humility and service, not to be the servants of friends or of a class or even of church members, but of Christ, of Christ. And the tough news of the gospel, the tough news of the gospel is that you must confess Christ and accept his what? Cross. And to accept his cross, anything less is cheap grace. Anything less is cheap grace. God wants us to know that his grace is amazing. His grace will forgive us. His grace will sustain us. His grace will keep us. His grace is love. Oh, you look at the disciples as they're debating among themselves concerning who is the greatest. And it's Jesus who comes along and he helps them. In fact, look what he does. He works out of the box. He deals with those whom are the least, the lost, and the last. Children at this time was not even recognized as human beings. In fact, perhaps you're familiar with the saying, children were seen and not heard. And Jesus takes a child. And he placed him right in the midst of the disciples that the disciples can look at this child. And he says to the disciples as he holds this child in his arms concerning the children, for them to take care of the children, if they want to be great, well, then take care of those who can't give you anything back in return. Many of you know that when a baby comes into a home, comes into a family, it changes the whole atmosphere. Amen. Here's Jesus affirming children, sharing with the disciples, if they want to be great, then take care of the children, take care of those who are less fortunate. But then he concludes the whole matter by sharing with the disciples, if you receive me, then you receive the one who sent me. He was referring to God. It is a new definition of greatness that Jesus gives to all of us. In fact, it reminds me of the quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. who said, and I quote, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to have your subject and your verb to agree to serve. All you need is a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. End of quote. It reminds us that each and every one of us have a responsibility to serve. In fact, if you look closely in your sermon notes, let me conclude by sharing as it relates to the cross. And how we can participate in this Lenten journey together as the people of God. For following Jesus means I must nail some things to the cross. Now, next week, you're going to have the opportunity to receive a sheet of paper and write one thing that is hindering you from walking by faith along the way. From walking by faith. As it relates to your relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. For Jesus always pointed the disciples to God. Now, if you look closely at the cross, I've already nailed mine up. And it says, what should I nail? Well, it's good for all of us. Number one, bless you. I must nail myself to the cross. God must have you first. In fact, don't you remember Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you must deny yourselves, take up the cross, and what? Follow me. Well, secondly, I must nail my success to the cross. He's reminding us all the wonderful things that we continue to do day in and day out that are very successful. It is not based upon our abilities and talents alone. It's based upon the grace of God. Can I get a witness? It reminds us that we should give God the glory. To God be the glory for all the things He has done and getting ready to do through you and me. And then finally, I must nail my security to the cross. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Jesus said to his disciples, he who wants to save his life will lose his life. But he who will lose his life for my sake will save it. He was reminding us that we must nail things to the cross and give it to him. Why? Well, the hymnologist comes along and he gives it to us. He says, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the days. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. He allows us to nail it to the cross. Why don't you stand?